Rosie.
It's now time for America's favorite radio program, the David Williams Radio Affliction. Now here's your host and modulator of the David Williams Radio Affliction, Peter Clay.
And welcome back to the Radio Affliction. I am Peter Clay. It's been a very long time. I'm almost sorry, but not really, because that's the whole idea of podcasting and blogs, is you do it when you can. Now, if somebody wants to pay me to do this once a week, then I'll be on much more often. But no, I'll come on from time to time. I'm joined once again by my brother, Adam Clay. Adam, welcome to the program once again.
Good evening.
Hey.
Good evening.
I'm in Wisconsin. He's in California, and he's joining us through the lovely Skype. So how are things going with you, Adam?
Everything is going well, as a matter of fact. Things are falling into place. Things seem like they're looking up. You know, just full steam ahead. Keep on trucking. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you know, hope for the best. And don't be surprised if, you know, something hits you in a bad way. You know, it's kind of like hope for the best, but expect the worst. I know that sounds like it's a pessimistic viewpoint, but it just means that, you know, when something bad does happen, you don't sit there and wallow in it and say, oh, could this happen to me? You know, it just means that, you know, if something bad is going to happen, you're prepared for it. You face it head on.
Okay.
Rather than being afraid of something, you know, just, you know, move forward. Keep on trucking it. It's like what we were talking about earlier about one step up and two steps back, and at being a pessimistic viewpoint, is that, you know, are they really steps back? Are they steps, but they're in a direction that you did not anticipate. So rather than say they're two steps back, you know, consider it a challenge. Consider it, you know, something, you know, something that you weren't prepared for that you can possibly learn from. That's how I look at it.
There you go.
That's where I'm at these days.
Super. And that was all from How Are You?
Yes.
Just teasing.
And you thought this conversation was going to be short.
No, that's all good.
Right.
I appreciate it. And it's kind of what we were talking about on the last show. If you want to look back in on the radioaffliction.blogspot.com blog and listen to the previous show, because we were talking about a blog called Lost in Wisconsin. Along those same lines, her whole motif was, going in a way, probably in the wrong direction, finding a path, probably in the wrong direction, something like that. She's changed her website that's just so lost in WI.com now, and it's still kind of a blog. I like the Wordless Wednesday. You know what she writes on Wordless Wednesday?
What does she write on Wordless Wednesday?
Nothing.
It's
a wordless Wednesday. Not much has changed on that website in the year or so that we've been on there. I do want to start the show off on a couple little things here. It's kind of moving forward type of thing. I want to thank the Chicago Cubs.
Yes.
They won their division this year and were in the playoffs and lost in the first round. And lost 3-0 in a sweep. And that is wonderful. Because if you've been following the Cubs for very many, 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 many years, like some of us have, there was 84, 89, 98, and 2003, 2002, something like that. They would like say, oh, yeah, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to the World Series. No, we're not.
No.
Yeah. This was like they weren't even in it from the start, and that's just – so thank you. This is no false expectations, no, you know, decent season. You were better than a lot of the other teams, especially in your division, and you had a good season, and it's done, and it's over with, and we can move on now. And I appreciate that. Something else that needs to move on? Tell me how you feel about this. I think this needs to go away. Columbus Day, which is the day we're recording this on. What's
yes.
the point? I don't get it. First of all, he didn't really discover anything. You know, I mean, if Europeans should be celebrating it more than we should. I don't see why we're taking days off, not getting any mail. Actually, my bank was open today, but... And things like that. I'm missing something here, the whole recognition of something or other here, of something that happened 500, 600 years ago. You know, I don't get it. What are your feelings on it?
I don't think that there's anybody anywhere that on this day actually stops and says, thank you for this day being in existence. Thank you that this, you know, nobody recognizes the historical, nobody recognizes the history of this day. Nobody does that. Everybody just says, oh, cool, today's Columbus Day. I don't have to go to work. Or, you know, can't send off that package today because it's Columbus Day. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that. Nobody, you know, that's what everybody thinks. That's what everybody thinks. Oh, the post office is closed today because it's Columbus Day. Nobody thinks about the history. Nobody recognizes the historical significance of the day. They just know that this is a day off.
But what is the historical significance, again, to us? To Europeans or something like that, it was another land to conquer. It was another, you know, the whole Columbus expedition was a wreck. And the other thing, didn't discover anything. It was inhabited.
Yeah.
You know? There were people there, and he left some people there. And when he came back, they weren't there anymore, you know. it wasn't necessarily a failure by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Not exactly the best, you know, exactly something that you put down in your books as something to remember.
Yeah.
I would have more appreciation for when they were, you know, well, if, you know, for, you know, for all we know, maybe it is. Cause this is where, you know, I'm kind of a product of, society these days as far as history is concerned, because there are some people that are very fascinated by history, and then there are some people like myself who were so damn bored in history class in high school that I just tuned everything out. I don't know what the actual historical significance of this day was. Was this the day that they looked through the telescope and said, oh my God, land! You know, like, oh, thank God! Or
we could do a Google search on that and stuff like that, but something along those lines.
I don't know the whole story, but as far as I'm concerned, this is not exactly – it doesn't seem like a day that should be put in the books. And as far as I'm concerned, as from what I've heard, it's not a day that somebody cares about.
It's not one of those things. We got Halloween coming up and then Thanksgiving where, you know, you're not putting three ships in your yard at all or anything that. Yeah.
You know, and it's just another one of those days where, you know, people that I have known and bumped into today is that, you know, thank God that I don't have to work, and thank God the liquor store is still open.
There you go.
And yeah. So, you know, that's what this day is, you know, that's from.
Can I ask you this as kind of a, I don't know what to call you on this, ex-drunk or what do you want to call it? But here in Wisconsin, you can't buy alcohol after 9 p.m. in your, you know, liquor stores, grocery stores, that type of thing. California is what, 2 a.m., something like that?
2 a.m.
Yeah.
2 a.m.
Colorado was midnight, but you
Midnight makes sense.
But you couldn't get it on Sunday.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to think, what would you rather have? You know, we'd have people come here to Wisconsin, you know, what are you talking about, 9 o'clock? You're Wisconsin, you make the stuff, you know, what's this 9 o'clock stuff? But I think I'd rather have 9 o'clock 7 days a week than midnight and then nothing on Sunday. You know, a big sports day, Super Bowl Sunday, and it's not open. I mean, you plan ahead, obviously, but I don't know.
Well, it's 9 o'clock is interesting. It seems awful. What's the word? So every single day, 9 o'clock, it's the cutoff.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, it's like 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day.
Yeah, see, out here, liquor stores. I've woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning and gone to a liquor store and bought some booze. Out here in California, there are some places they'll open up and they'll cater to you, but that's usually in the inner city where, you know.
Sure. That's where the big money is at.
That's where the big money is. 9 o'clock at night, a 9 o'clock cutoff time seems awfully strict, but I can understand it. I can look at the other side of the coin on that and say that it is a matter of safety. However, you know, the bars are still open until 2.
Oh, yeah, here they are.
So, you know, if you want to get trashed, you still can. It's just, you know, it'll cost you more.
But what if you work second shift and you work till 9 o'clock, you know? I think there should be an hour grace period in there myself. But that's, you know, what the heck. We've rambled on. We got off the tangent there of Columbus Day right off the bat. It is so wonderful to be back here on the Radio Affliction. Hope that you will join us, and we'll do more of them from time to time. If you need more, there is the Radio Affliction blog, and that's at radioaffliction.blogspot.com. And you can always email it, radioaffliction@gmail.com. We'll take a quick break, and we'll get back to you here on the Radio Affliction.
Hey, girls, what do real stud muffin guys look for? Silly young teeny boppers or older women? Yes, that's right. Today's real men look towards the older woman. But now, no matter how young you are, you can start looking older immediately with the latest wrinkle in teenage cosmetics, Ms. Wrinkles. Apply in the morning, and in just a few short minutes, tiny lines of character and maturity start to appear around your eyes and lips. Suddenly, your whole face is saying,
I've been around. I know what I'm doing. And most of all, I know what I want.
Of course, different faces say different things. Not everybody sounds like Peter Clay, so we can't be responsible for what yours says. So don't ask anyone's permission. Be grown up right now. Go out and buy Ms. Wrinkles.
And welcome back to the Radio Affliction. I'm your host, Peter Clay, joined by my brother, Adam Clay. Still over there?
Good evening. Yes,
hey,
I am.
All right. One of my favorite segments from the post-George Carlin grumpy stage, George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians of all time until about 1986. After that is what I call the grumpy stage, and just not as funny. But he had one special, probably 95-ish, 93-ish, and a really good segment called, you know, the words that you think that you know. You know, that you use all the time, and you think you know them, but you really don't. You don't really know the meaning. And one of the ones that is my favorite is legally drunk. Well, if it's legal, what's the problem? You know,
yeah.
leave my friend alone, officer. He's legally drunk. You know, and I thought you came up with some excellent ones there too. What were some of the ones that you had dug up there?
There's of course, you know, uninhibited, because this was one that has always gotten me, was disillusioned. And I'll tell you the honest truth, I'm still confused as to what disillusioned really means, because illusioned, like, when are you ever illusioned? You know, you can be disillusioned, but you're never illusioned. But, you know, let's say you're under the impression of something, you have this illusion, and then you're disillusioned, which means this illusion that you have had has been just shattered, and now you're seeing the reality. I guess that's what that word means. I really don't know.
Is it along the same lines as, are you ever chalant?
Yes. Yeah. There's nonchalant, yeah. But when have you ever been chalant? Like, when have you ever been...
You constantly are, I guess, apparently. And so that, yeah, I would say that you are constantly illusioned, because all we see us are illusions, apparently, depending on your perception of things.
That's so starting to get a little deep for me, man. But
I've been taking physics classes from Cal Berkeley, and so I'm learning. Did you know that you cannot have energy without mass?
You cannot have energy without mass. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty heavy duty. I was about to swear. I caught myself. That's pretty heavy duty stuff. That's pretty heavy duty. You cannot have. Let's see. Here's a good one. Precision and accuracy.
Okay.
Precision and accuracy. Scientifically, those are two levels that are read on different planes. Because they're two completely different concepts. You think of something being precise, and you think of something being accurate. You think that they would be similar. But they're two completely different concepts, because, dig this, okay? You can be accurate when you're precise, but you cannot always be precise when you're accurate. Hmm. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Interesting. Can you dig deeper into that, or no? Are you just pointing out?
I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. I mean, precise means you hit the nail right on the head. Boom! You got it down to the lowest.
But wouldn't you be accurate with that?
But accurate, yes, you would. You can be accurate.
Is it kind of like that? All bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
It's along those lines. Okay. Yeah. Bring up alcohol again. Why are you doing that?
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Yeah.
That's all right. Sorry, I'm just gonna bite my fingernails off over here. No, I'm good. Good. Let's see. I'm trying to think of another one. Another example of words. There was. Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue, and it's not coming. Well, the precision and accuracy, I covered that already.
Yeah.
But again, I'll reiterate. You can be precise. You can be accurate when you're precise. You can be accurately precise, but you're not always precise when you're accurate, because accurate is so-so.
Okay, so you can be accurately precise, but you can't be precisely accurate?
That is correct.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
We might need some emails.
I think it's the other way around. You can be precisely accurate,
but can it be accurately precise?
You can't be accurately precise.
That makes a little more sense.
That would be like saying you did it almost well, you know. You know, it's like saying he was almost shot, you know. Either you're shot or you're not.
Okay.
You know, or it was done well or it wasn't. You know, it's like, how can you be accurately precise?
Slightly pregnant.
Exactly, somewhat pregnant, you know, or, you know. Anyway, no, but I, as a writer, it's been frustrating to me because there have been words that should be out there that like spectating. You can be a spectator and you spectate. You can be a spectator, but you do not spectate. There is no such word as spectate. You know, you are a spectator at a football game, but you cannot spectate a football game. So I came up with the word spectate, and I thought I deserve some congratulations for that. I think that sounds like a word that should be in the English vocabulary.
Well, you were using it, I'm not sure if I got this right, as a verb almost.
Yes.
As an action, as spectating. Is it like, if I'm a spectator, and the act of that, I would be spectating, so...
Yes.
I guess. I didn't do really well in English, so I'm not really sure if I'm...
Spectating is not a word.
Huh.
It is not an official word.
And well, so I went... it's just not an official word to your spell check, maybe, but have you looked in, like, the Oxford Dictionary?
I looked it up in the dictionary. It might not be the best dictionary on the face of the planet, and it's a rather old dictionary. That was the one thing... Now, here was something that kind of stirred me up a little bit. Is that let me see if I've got it here real quick. Yes, Webster's New World Dictionary. Webster's New World Dictionary of the American language.
Ah.
And I went, what? American language? I didn't realize, you know, that's like, you know, I just hear somebody, oh, like you, buddy, you speak good American, you know. Doesn't sound right to me.
No,
but
it's not doing anything for me either.
But it was of the American language, so you know.
Yeah, because I've seen people try and get people with an English accent to, hey, talk British to me, you know, come on, you know. But no one ever says up to me, hey, come on, speak American to me, man.
Now, here's a good one. Here's a good one. You know, when you live in California, you're considered a Californian.
Yes.
You know, but. What do you consider yourself if you live in Wisconsin?
You're a Wisconsinite.
A Wisconsinite, okay. Because I thought Wisconian. I thought that was cool.
Oh, dude.
I don't know. But you know, what are you, like Idahoan?
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's the correct
way
to
think. Yeah, I think so. Idahoan? Yeah.
Because I know if you're from Texas, you're a Texan.
Yeah.
But what are you from? And when you're from Florida, are you a Floridian or
Floridian,
something?
Floridian, I believe, yeah.
I don't... that's it.
Where it gets tricky is Alabama.
Tennessee.
Tennessean, I think. That's all right. Kentuckian.
Tennessean.
Alabamian. I don't know on that. Mississippian. Louisianian.
And people from Illinois, they're just fibs. They're just leave
much,
it at fibs.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
Yeah, I got to say, I you know, because I've run into bad drivers everywhere, but the people from Minnesota just drive really fast, annoyingly fast. The really thing that bothers me about Illinois drivers is they
suck.
Well, besides that,
okay,
is they have this notion that there's actually such a thing as a fast lane. It really isn't. The speed limit's 65 is 65 in either lane. It doesn't, you know, doesn't matter, you know. And so they have a they think that if you get right up to your back end, that you're just supposed to just move. You know, I mean, especially, you know, if you're already speeding yourself, okay? Like, yeah. I've talked about this before on Radio Affliction Quickie, is that, you know, I'm a lawbreaker, okay? I average about 70, 75 miles an hour. I tend not to go over 10 miles over the speed limit.
You're a criminal.
Yeah, I'm a bastard. But what bothers me about that is here I am, breaking the law, okay? Putting my life and others at risk here, all right? And somebody comes up to me and doesn't think that that's fast enough. I find that extremely arrogant and irritating. You know, is that here I am breaking the law, and it's like someone coming and then right up to my bumper, and there's Abe Lincoln on the license plate there, so I know where you're from.
Yeah.
And thinking, no, you're not.
Well, there's two things that you can do to roll it off. And one is to just be Mr. Kinder and Gentler America and just put on your right blinker and go into the next lane and let them speed forward. Or you can, and you know, and just say, roll it off, let them drive. You know, I'll see him wrapped around a tree, you know, before, you know, whatever. But you can say, tough, and just sit right where you're at. And if he is in that big of a hurry, he can just get in the other lane and go around you.
Oh, they will. Oh, they'll buy, and then make you break because they've, you know, have had to slow up. Then it's a whole big thing. It's just like,
well, that's
people,
that's
maintain your 2 second distance, please. And yes. And this even goes to truckers too. Even though I love you guys, and you basically it's your road and all that stuff. I give you as much courtesy and everything as I can. But please, for the love of God, don't pass on cruise control. It's just nothing irritates me more than that. It's just that people just get in there and then they cruising along, and it takes 10 minutes to complete a pass. And that's where these things get bottled up. You know, you get backups, and this is where you get your fibs on people's butts and all that stuff. And it's just you know. So just please take that extra 2 seconds. Just put your foot back on the gas, let it go, and say, make your pass, complete in the other lane, and then go back in cruise control. Oh wow, we can move on with life. It's a wonderful thing.
Now, tell me if it's the same, because out here in California, there legally is, it's even in the driver's handbook, is that the left-hand lane is the fast lane, and the right-hand lane is considered the slow lane. Is that how it is in the Wisconsin Book of Driving?
My understanding is that the law is the law, and that is the speed is now slower traffic is to remain on the right-hand side.
Yes.
So if you can't maintain, you know, a constant speed, you're stay on the right-hand side, and that the left lane is a passing lane. So there's really not a fast lane. The law is if your posted speed limit is 65. That's it. You know, there's nothing, oh, it's faster over here and everything. Is that if you can't keep up with that speed, then there's a minimum speed. I think it's like 45 then.
Then get off the highway.
Pretty much, yeah. So
that
but there's really, yeah, there really is no such thing as a fast or slow lane.
Here's in reference to another word that I created, innuendous. I'm very proud of that. The match game gets very innuendous because there's a lot
mean?
Of it. It means of or having an innuendo.
Innuendous.
The okay. Match game is it's a very long sentence if you wish to phrase it correctly and say the match game is full of a lot of innuendo, or there are a lot of innuendos on the match game. Shorten it up and make life much simpler for you. You can just say the match game is innuendous. Just like that.
Hey,
innuendous. And besides, and it feels kind of funny when it leaves your mouth to innuendous. It's like, you know, you it feels like you got Jell-O in your mouth or something. Innuendous.
Yeah, it sounds like you should see a doctor about it. Almost.
It's a wobbly word. It's a good word. And hey, if Will Smith can get the credit for putting the word jiggy in the English language, I'm going to take credit for innuendous, damn it.
There you go. You better copyright that or something like that. Well, it's on the Radio Affliction now.
I'd better get jiggy with it.
It'll be spidered on Google and everything like that. Hey, a first for the Radio Affliction podcast and some of our videos and stuff like that. One, we're still getting downloads, and I haven't had any time to promote any of these things. But if you type in raw beef sandwich in Google, we're number one. A video that I made with my cousin Jim, our cousin Jim, for that matter, making and eating a raw beef sandwich and having a can of Blatz. It's number one, so check that out. Go to Google and type in raw beef sandwich and watch the video and learn something in life.
I don't think you would have very much competition in the subject matter of raw beef sandwich.
No, because when it first came up, I mean, there was recipes and stuff like that in different forums and comments and stuff like that, and it kind of got spidered in with that then too. But
I'm gonna Google that right now. Raw beef sandwich.
Yeah, and this is kind of exciting. Adam is googling raw beef sandwich.
How to make and eat a raw beef sandwich. Jim Reed shows how to make and eat a raw beef sandwich following our grandfather's recipe. Keywords: beef, raw sandwich.
Yeah, there you have it. Number one, baby.
And number two. And then, interesting, number three, Recipes of the Damned. April 3rd, 2000, raw beef sandwich from the Metropolitan Life Cookbook, Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
Hey, dude, don't. No, that'll overtake us. Don't give them credit. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not sure how old this booklet is. .. Recipes of the Damned. And number four is the Big Apple Cannibal Sandwich. Hamburger in the raw.
And Jim came to visit a week or so ago and properly made another raw beef sandwich, and it was lovely.
On rye bread.
Yep. That's what the recipe calls for.
Again, I must reiterate, it is not an official Norbert Nibs Miller.
It is not, actually. It is unless James Reed the First. Actually, it was his father's recipe, our grandfather's. Although our grandfather, though, did eat raw beef sandwiches, too. But I don't think he used that recipe. I think he took any old meat he could get his hands on and said, yep, I don't feel like cooking it today.
when he was making hamburgers for the family for lunch or whatever, he would always take a pinch.
Yeah.
And he would sprinkle Lowry's seasoned salt on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was the recipe: Lowry's seasoned salt on raw beef.
Hey, I've got a question for you, and maybe we can get a little publicity out for this. I feel a little bad in a way about the video that's on the Radio Affliction right now called "Good Morning Madison." Which is something we've been doing for years. We just would goof around, and we would be so bored, and we would just say, "Good morning, Madison. I'm this and that." We'd run over our reservation list and just read off names, and just make up little silly little stuff, and it was funny. But we did a segment in the last episode, and it's still on the Radio Affliction blog right now. We were just goofing around one night, sitting around with Rick Harrington, the former co-host of this show, and he just started going, "Bill," and it was funny to us, type of thing. And I don't see how it could be funny to anybody else who would get on it, but he's just acting like an idiot. And so I'm just wondering if it was just a little tiny bit insensitive. It really has not generated the hits that are reception that I thought. It didn't get any.
Have you been receiving any comments or any concerns or any
the only one comment we got was a compliment. But so no, I've not. I don't. There's something I'm going to try. I might bring that back and do something different. There's a show called Little Britain, and then. Yeah, and it was just, I felt kind of cheated a little bit because there was a character in one of the sketches that they did that was kind of very kind of similar to that, actually. And I felt kind of ripped off, but then I suppose they probably did it before we did. And so they do something different on that. I want to try something along those lines, too, so that it doesn't seem as insensitive. But then, again, that kind of cheeses it out a little bit. So I just, how insensitive is it? And is that really a bad thing? I don't know. It's like being lost in Wisconsin. I mean, how can you be lost if you know where you are? Yeah.
I do have a slight concern because there have been things that I've seen, skits that you and Rick have performed on this broadcast that have then the concept. I mean, it's a big country and there's billions of people living here. So obviously somebody, you know, people do have similar ideas and similar concepts and everything. But I've seen skits done in the past 10 years or so that things that you and Rick have done that all of a sudden I will see commercials for Old Navy and they're doing something that is so incredibly similar to what you guys did. It really makes me wonder if perhaps maybe, you know, you're being watched, you know, because we are being watched and people are listening to this.
There's something along those lines, too, but I think there's also something to this law of attraction type of thing that you put these vibrations out there. And if we're all sending and receiving signals and stuff like that, how could someone not pick up on that and have something, a similar idea like that, you know? I still think it's funny that of all the videos, I think the number one video is I redid something that we did a long time ago and put the Masterpiece Theater theme in there and kind of did a takeoff of, you know, how Masterpiece Theater opens with all these classic books and stuff like that and some of the classic shows they've done in Masterpiece Theater. And I put all these, like, really cheesy books in a phone book and...
And 159 sexual positions.
And stuff like that, you know, yeah. And I think there's also a Tony Robbins book in there and the two hosts of ESPN Sports Center, their book on there too and stuff like that. So, but take off on that. So I think that's been the number one video that's been done on that. So, yeah, you never know what's going to work and what's not going to. And so it was just something that when we were doing Bill, I actually thought I was going to die there for a minute. I could not stop laughing type of thing. But how is somebody else supposed to think it's funny? You know, because we were just, you know, goofing around and stuff like that. But so I thought I would at least share something that we thought was very, very funny type of thing. And there was no thought involved that it could be insensitive to somebody else or making fun of something else. It was, if anything, we were making fun of the person that was doing it, you know?
So it was Richard Harrington making a fool out of himself just for the sake of making a fool out of himself.
Yeah. And then letting us broadcast that.
So, you know, but no, I of course, you know, thought that maybe there it was a, you know, that it was kind of like poking fun of mentally ill or mentally handicapped individuals. But that's just me seeing one side of it. And you know, it's not.
It's not.
That's the thing that is so frustrating is that, you know, you guys were just having a good time.
Yeah.
That's all that it boils down to.
Well, I think you said something interesting on it is that you didn't get it yourself until you saw the outtakes. At the end where the credits were rolling and he's doing that and I can't keep a straight face any longer then. And then if you went back and saw it, is how hard I'm working to keep a straight face, you know, and then then it is kind of funny then, you know, it's just like, it's not really funny until you see that you're just goofing around and that there's no agenda at all or anything like that. So there you have it.
It was harmless. Yes. It was just harmless, good fun.
So there you have it. Pete and Rick, they don't have an agenda, just so you know.
We're not out to get anybody. We're not out to hurt anybody's feelings. We're not out to, not even out to plagiarize. That was the plagiarism. Plagiarism is where my concern lies because there could
except
be...
Except for fibs. I'm trying to hurt their feelings because they're insensitive, mean drivers.
And
I don't even actually mind them coming into it. You know, people get it, so, oh, fibs, they're taking over. I don't have a problem with that because, one, it keeps sales tax low because they want to keep people, I mean, if there's only something we could do about property tax, now an income tax, we'd be all right. But somebody made a very good comment one time, you know, about, oh, all the fibs and blah, 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 and all these Illinois people coming into Wisconsin, blah, 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 blah. And an Illinois person came up and said, well, yeah, I understand, but do you realize how much your state is spending in advertising, you know, for tourism in Illinois for people to come up there? And if you go to Chicago, you see billboards for Wisconsin Dells. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, all these sales tax and this tax revenue that they're generating just goes right back into Illinois in advertising. And it's just ridiculous. So I'm actually more upset with Wisconsin than I am with fibs.
Okay. Hey, okay. That's on the other side of the country for me. Although I really do not have an opinion on the matter, but you know, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. What would be the thing on that for you? Because in California, there's got to be a divide there somewhere. All the Northern Californians or the Southern Californians or the Fresnonians or whatever. I don't know. What would be? There's got to be some sort of, or tourists, I suppose, wouldn't it? They wouldn't have to be necessarily from Illinois. They're from everywhere.
I've got no idea.
Really? Okay.
I've got absolutely no idea. I'm just another Californian struggling to get by. Just you know, I make my money. I spend my money. The second I get paid, I put it right back into the economy, and I keep everything running. You know, as long as I've got money in my pocket, and I pay my taxes at the end of the year, I'm fine. I'm just lucky to be waking up in the morning and saying, you know what? I'm in the state of California, baby.
There you go.
You wake up in the morning and you see a palm tree and you say, you know what? You're living in California. And it's a rough one. It's a pretty unpredictable life. But, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, California is a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Well, you know what? Now that I've lived in California for over 20 years, I cannot imagine living anywhere else. I really can't.
I can.
So,
but anyway, and I've lived everywhere else. I think life's the ultimate experience. Some of that stuff, I wouldn't mind. I think, I didn't really want to leave Colorado, and so that's kind of on my mind sometimes. Arizona is kind of on the table right now.
Arizona would be interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, You know, yeah, I can think of a lot of other places I'd live besides California, but that's me.
Yeah, it's a difference of opinion. I'm speaking just for myself. I cannot imagine myself anyplace else. I really cannot. It may be my youth speaking. It may be
you're pretty old, dude, though.
You know, 34.
You look
34.
Your mid, early, late, early 30s.
34 is a great age to be because of chicks and women. Because you can still go out with somebody who's in their teens. You can still go out with somebody who's 19 years old.
You're on the fringe, though.
And it's still considered acceptable. It's still considered acceptable. At the same time, I could be spending time with somebody who is in their late 30s, early 40s, even somebody in their early 50s or whatever. There would be nothing wrong with me being involved with somebody who's 50 years old. It's conceivable. It is conceivable.
Well, it's
a great age
cut off. But I'm with somebody about 6 years older than me, and then about a year ago, I was trying to date someone 12 years younger than me, and that was just a disaster. I mean, it's just like, it's not so much the age difference, it's just where you're at in your life. And where that particular person was is exactly where I was at 24. So you didn't want to condemn anything that they're doing in their life at that point, like wanting to go out every single night of the week and stuff like that. It's just that you don't want to relive it, you know? It's like, hello, been there, you know, type of thing.
You don't want to
deny them that then either, then, and stuff like that. Because you can say, you know what, you really don't want to do that, you know? But you know what? Learn, you know?
It also depends on an individual's experience level. Mm-hmm. Because there could be somebody who is 16 years old and has been around the block and has been around the planet and is just so real, so incredibly real. But at the same time, you're going to see somebody who's 16 years old and is still chewing bubble gum and still talking about cute boys and still talking about, you know. It depends on the level of experience. You can have somebody, there is a woman that I know right now who is 57 years old, and she still acts like she's in high school. It is just deplorable, and it's just amazing. Where have
you're
not you
talking
been?
About mom, are you?
No. No, she was next, but no. It all depends.
Of course, we don't want to be insensitive and mention mom's age, though. She's not 57, though. But
no,
I heard the low temperature tonight's going to be 59. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna highway 60.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Yeah,
it's a great drive. No, but it really depends on the experience level of somebody. There can be somebody in their mid 20s that just has a very high level of wisdom because of circumstances that they have been put through, and that's where you know people who live in California see some crazy stuff. A similar instance, an example, is somebody who has grown up in the city as opposed to somebody who has grown up in the suburbs, and what one is subjected to and what certain people experience. And you know, you will see somebody from the streets of New York, that there will be a child who's 10 years old from the Bronx who is just wise beyond his years. And then there will be somebody who has lived in the suburbs their whole life, and they could be 45 years old, and they still are as dumb as a rock. You know, it just. And I'm not trying to slam the suburbs. I'm not trying to say that people from the city are better.
Have you
got
a grasp on what a suburb is now, too? Have you got that? Because we talked about that last show, too. It was like, oh, they can't cross state lines. Oh.
Oh. I know. Enough. I'm satisfied.
Hey, this is what I hope can be a segment from now on too. Is like whenever my cousin Jim comes up, we always hit the secondhand stores, and you and I have had histories with that, and you actually have some experience with it right now. But man, some of the things that you'll pick up with me, it's traditionally albums and stuff like that. But I recently picked up a pasta maker, and I made some stuff with that, and I typically recommend appliances like this, things that you've seen on TV. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Should I get that, you know, or should I just wait? You know, if you can find something, all the pieces together or anything like that, especially if it's one thing that you just might do for a couple of weeks and then just, you know, end up putting in the basement anyway. I probably recommend a secondhand store for something like a pasta maker or a juicer or something like that. Something along the lines of like the Magic Bullet. Have you ever seen those irritating infomercials or something like that? I'm actually kind of glad that I got the brand new version of that, especially with all the other little things that come with it. But something like a juicer or a pasta maker, even a rotisserie or something like that, probably would recommend. It's like, because why spend $100 on something like that you're just gonna, you know, use for a couple of weekends and then put in the basement? You know, I found our bread maker, the cleaning up.
Well, the bread maker was a trend. The bread maker was a fad.
I still think it's a good idea, though. I mean, I was thinking about it tonight, though. Is just that, you know, bread and pasta are so cheap. You know, I mean, yeah. It is almost inconvenient to have to make it yourself. But, oh, it's so good. I made this lemon pepper pasta tonight, and it was just, it was wonderful. And yeah, all the different things that you can make then.
The other thing that you're doing right now is that you're breaking a myth. That is, I volunteer a lot of time at a thrift store here in the community that I live in, because it really is very beneficial to the community. And volunteering there, I've kind of become a local celebrity. Because the people who reckon, hey, it's that guy from the thrift store, all right! You know? I just donated the exact same kind of pasta maker that you bought from a secondhand store.
Yeah.
And so that's fascinating to me. But what you're doing is you're breaking the myth that if you see something that is as seen on TV, you know, with that guy shouting, you know, this product is, you know.
Set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. And then 6 months later, you see it in a thrift store. And obviously, there must be something wrong with it. And you're kind of breaking that spell and saying, hey, look, I bought this pasta maker, just, and it works. One of those... I had it for dinner tonight, and it was fantastic. So, you know, you're breaking a myth that, you know, there's... Oh, well, there's
I think what it is, too, is that we get... enticed with things or something like that, and it gets stuck in our brain, and you get these things, and you use it, you know, and then you, you know, don't have time or whatever else, and then you put them away. If you're going to do that, you know, be frugal about it, I guess is what I'm saying, and then experiment, and then if you do the same thing, use it for a weekend, get your fill of it, and then re-donate it then, because you only spent like 15, 20 bucks then instead of 100, you know.
Yeah.
I like the Jack Lending juicer very much. No way would I pay $100 for that. That was a gift. But anyway, but if I saw it for $20 or something like that, I think I'd probably pick it up then. So anyway, some things that you just will not, thanks to the RIAA and Napster and stuff like that, the only way you can find certain types of music is on the old vinyl. And sometimes it's just the best way to hear things. Like, I mean, Gary Wright, Dreamweaver, you probably find anywhere, but having it on vinyl is... But did you know that both stars of the Dukes of Hazzard had albums? Now, John Schneider, I think mostly because I think he still tours and stuff like that, but didn't know that Tom Wopat had an album, and, well, I've got that, and it's scary. But anyway, it's actually not bad.
You have it?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I had to pick that up. Yeah, it was... Yeah, and I think I finally have every single Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass album.
I found Whipped Cream and Other Delights.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Something about a bull.
The Lonely Bull, yeah.
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 So I've got those and the cover of Whipped Cream and Other Delights is just fantastic.
Oh, that's something most of their album covers are pretty good, actually.
That's something you could put up on your wall. Yeah. That's an incredible album cover.
Oh, I still think the best album cover is Olivia Newton-John. If You Love Me, Let Me Know. I think that's the name of the album. I know that song's on there, but that's she's just sitting there with her arms crossed, just looking, well, like Olivia Newton-John does, and that's a beautiful thing. So that's your secondhand tips. Go ahead with your question there.
Well, I was just going to mention that there's something quietly poetic and mesmerizing about the album cover for Fleetwood Mac, Bare Trees.
Yes.
I think that is, again, is something that you could put on your wall, and there's something that, depending on your mood, it could be bleak. If you're in a bad mood, it could be bleak and desolate, and if you're in a good mood, it could be peaceful, quaint, and meditative. So.
And believe it or not, a halfway decent album to listen to as well.
Absolutely.
So. In your pre-Buckingham Knicks days and stuff like that.
Yes.
Which, rumors I still have on 8-track. It's a wonderful album. But anyway. Well, we've been gabbing on for a long time now. We can probably wrap up this edition of the Radio Affliction. I'm sorry it's taken this long. Hopefully it won't take this long again, especially if we can talk like this. I think we can... Oh, wow, we could have gone on for hours on this stuff here today. So, but Adam, I want to thank you for coming on the program once again.
Absolutely.
Third time, I believe. So it's we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Yes. Just keep
if you need
on
more,
track.
Though, I'm going to try and update the blog more often and have more posts and little quickies here and there. So check that out at radioaffliction.blogspot.com. And anytime you want to make comments, you can make those comments on the blog, or you can email at radioaffliction@gmail.com. I'm Peter Clay. We'll see you next time on the Radio Affliction.